vib.no. Vib.no. Vi er på, ja. I Vib er vi stolte over å ha utviklet det som kanskje er verdens enkleste strømavtale. Den også en av markedets billigste spotprisavtaler. Sjekk ut vib.no. Det ikke noe mer å si enn det. Eller, ja, kanskje jeg kan legge til at det null påslag, og at du får alt på en faktura, og betaler kun 39 kroner I månedspris. Så da snakker vi plankekjøring, tenker jeg. Sjekk ut vib.no.
Første og andre mars arrangeres The Abyss Festival I Göteborg. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, og siden Solom spiller der, passer det bra med et godt gammelt Tom Angelripper-intervju på Jernverkepodden.
We should get Tore to come up on stage with us and sing Iron Fist. Tore is crazy.
He was off on the stage to sing with us Iron Fist because he's the biggest Mordad fan. And I am the biggest Mordad. it's a kind of tradition. And when you go to play here in Scandinavia, you know, and Tore and in the same club, you know, we're gonna perform it, you know. And after Let Me Stand, you know, it's a very good idea to do it, you know. Yeah, okay, there are some Southern fans say, okay, you just have 45 minutes, you're going to play a Mordad song, you know. But they forgive me, because Iron Fist, this song was also kind of our Persecution Mania album, you know, so it's not something special.
It's even on the album.
That was your first full length, too, so it's kind of natural.
No, the first one was Obsessed by Cruelty, yeah.
No, yeah, it was Obsessed by Cruelty, and that
yeah, yeah. Like, and then came Persecution Mania with Iron Fist, you know, so...
But to continue with Tore, the wedding show in Bergen in Norway this autumn, when Tore...
The wedding show?
Yeah, wedding show we attended. A couple of fans.
He's a good friend of mine. Last year I've been in his apartment, you know, get some drinks and all. And we talk about the collection, and he showed me all the singers and all the stuff, you know, that was amazing, you know. I never seen a bigger Mordad collection in vinyls, in shirts, in patches, in everything, you know, merchandising, you know. And I like this guy, you know, and he's gonna ask me, are we gonna do Iron Fist perform on stage, you know? And Benjamin said, oh, no, we just have 45 minutes, and we start five minutes earlier, you know, so we can do it. Why not, you know? It's just, you know... It's a solemn show, you know, but we want to... It's entertainment also, you know.
You've been on tour with Motorhead too, earlier.
Yeah, so we toured in 93, you know. It was Motorhead, yeah.
How was that?
Great.
Do you remember?
No, I remember, yeah, because it's the first time we get a chance to tour with Motorhead, you know. My big idol, you know. There was a creator on a tour and some other bands, you know.
And Doomed and the Christmas special.
Yeah, the Christmas metal meeting tour, whatever it's called, you know. That was fantastic, you know. You know, we Motorhead fans, we're going to see Motorhead every evening, you know, for free, you know. Just standing on the side of the stage, looking Motorhead. And we never get so much contact with Lemmy, because Lemmy was always, he got an own dressing room, you know. And he never get in contact with the other band so much, you know. I know why, you know. He cannot talk to everybody, you know. He just want to have his own apartment, his own room, and relax and prepare for the show, you know.
But did you experience something fun with him while you hung out at that door?
Oh yes, there was. I asked for an autograph, you know, and he told me. Maybe after the lunch.
Out to lunch.
I come back later. I never came back, you know. And on the last show we did, I don't know where it was, you know. We got drunk, you know. All the crew, all the bands got drunk. The last show we did, you know. And I want to talk to Lemmy. And he said, I want to drink my beer alone. So I go on again, you know. But
he had the philosophy of the great orator. The big meetings and be secluded,
yeah.
And then he go on stage, and then he is that. But before that, solo.
He's always relaxed. He had nothing to do with all the fans and other support bands, you know. He was not really, never really interested in, you know, what we did, you know, what other bands did, you know.
Yes, I'm from the Gothenburg area. I met him a few times, you know, when they're rehearsing at Mickey D's place in Gothenburg. Mm-hmm. And they had this secret show called Lemmy and the White Stripes and all these kind of weird gigs at the nightclub called Park Lane.
Yeah. And, you know, he's not a metal fan, you know?
No.
He's not a metal fan. He's not interested in heavy metal music, you know? You can talk, if you want to talk to him, you can talk about politics or
German
military collection, World War One, World War II, World War III, whatever, you know.
But
you never can talk about music, you know. Do you like my guitar riff? Do you like my lyrics? You know, you never mind, you know. So that is not a good start to get in contact with him, talking about music. He's not interested.
But what about you? Do you follow the new bands coming now in your own genre, or are you still?
No, it's the same like me nowadays. You know, there are so much bands coming out every month. You know, I cannot control it. You know, when I get the Rock Up magazine, I get a Metal Hammer, I get Death Forever, the new magazine, and see so much bands coming out.
Yeah, good
reviews.
Death Forever.
You know. Yeah, there's a new magazine. I like it. Yeah, it's a good magazine.
Tommy's from where Rock Hard is born. Rock Hard is born in the same time as Sodom.
So I don't have the money to buy the CDs, or I don't have the time to spend to listening to all this stuff, you know.
But when did this stop? Was it like at what age or time do you just stop following? Because I can feel the same happening now. I can't listen to everything. I can't follow everything.
Yeah, but when I started, you know, in 81 or 82, you know, there was just a couple of bands coming out every month, you know. Yeah. And that was not coming out, just demos, you know. These bands, the music was not released by record companies, whatever. But I get a catalog every month, you know. So I ordered demo tapes and live tapes, whatever, you know. Because I was a metal fan, you know.
The start of the metal, fanzine, you know, culture, aside punk.
Yeah.
That's where you have Sodom. You have Black Thorn magazine, you have Rock Hard magazine, you have the Heavy Metal Massacre magazine.
Yeah, but a magazine has to get commercial. So,
yeah, heavy metal,
so they put commercial
signed
bands on the front cover, like I'd say Böse Onkels or Rammstein. It's not metal bands, you know.
No,
but they put it on the front cover to get successful, you know, to sell.
No, but the magazine culture, like Black Thorn, for example, when you have the In the Sign of Evil, like review 1 year later, and they're reviewing actually the demos.
Yeah, but that was the fanzine culture when you had
Sodom was in the start of the metal fanzine culture.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the very spring. I have several copies of the most interviews was in German.
Yeah. So it's like the
what's all the kickers
from
kickers from
English,
America,
you know,
across the border, so to say.
Like,
the time
like,
changes, you know, like it's getting commercial now. If you are a metal fan, you want to start making a band, you know, you form a band, you know. Maybe you'll get money, your parents are going to spend your guitar, they're going to spend equipment for you. You have to make a band, you know, and it's not, I don't have any control about it, all the bands, you know.
But it's easier now because you can easily make a band and a record, but you can't live from it anymore.
No.
You can actually tour, and it can be your job.
It's easy to form a band and to record something because of digital equipment, you know. You can record it, everything at home, you know. You don't spend money to go to a studio, you know. What we spend a lot of money for going to big studios, big city desk, you know.
If you look at a lot of the productions with Sodom, like Tapping the Vein or some album like that, you know, there is a ton of money in production put into the production of albums like that, you know, like with Harris Jones as producer, you know. And,
and we spent a lot of money for it. Yeah,
yeah, that was, you know, some serious budgets to make that. And it was big tours back then. In the underground still, semi-underground, it was just what people consider underground today was the normal stature of brutal music.
Yeah. It's easy to record an album.
Who went on tour, you know? It was not until 1995, 96 that these festivals that you are used to, like Wacken Open Air and with Full Force, as that, or Inferno, as it became a festival. Before that, we had to go with boat down to see Sodom in Germany, with Sediago and Doro and Manowar and Bus Onkels.
Yeah, so they were mostly like heavy metal nights and not several days with bands and bands and bands.
2 days festivals, but they were not international, like you would say, at all. Like imagine that lineup: Bus Onkels, Manowar and Sodom.
Yeah,
I remember in Lübeck, 97.
But nowadays, if you're going to form a new band, you never get a chance to play on this festival, actually. Because if there is a promoter wanna do a festival, you know, he wanna get bands who have a name, you know, where people come for, you know, he wanna make money, you know. And if you have a small band, a newer band, you know, they never get chance, you know. They play some festivals, you know. They pay to play, maybe. That is a big difference,
you know. To pay to play and options on merchandise and all that stuff, which doesn't make sense for bands to bring merchandise to festivals, because you have to pay merch concession and you have to pay overweight on the flight. So it doesn't make you actually pay to bring stuff.
Yeah, I noticed there wasn't any Sodom merch today.
No.
This is why I mention it.
Yeah, if you're going to bring it by plane, you know, you have to pay overweight and tax and everything, you know.
Plus that the festival is charging 20% to sell it. So you're going below already.
So you have to increase the prices to sell it.
You know, you pay, in Germany, you pay 15 euros for a shirt, you know. And if it's more, I don't want, you know. And if you bring it to outside Germany, you have to take 25, you know. I don't want that.
We're outside.
So if you really are Sodom, you know, and you need a shirt, you know, you're gonna order it in a shop, you know, an online shop.
Yeah, or make a bootleg, maybe.
There's a lot of bootlegs around, you know. People say, okay, you never bring merch to South America or whatever, you know. So we do our own merchandise. Yeah, they do. I never mind, you know.
But do you ever yourself help with making the merch or decide how it should look like? Or is there someone else doing all
that? No, it's my decision, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The official merch, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't have any control about the bootlegs, you know, they bring out, you know. There's a lot of bootleg stuff around, you know, and merch, and I can't control it, you know. I cannot handle it, you know. But my own merch, I do myself, you know. I know exactly how it have to look like, you know, and
so how should it look like? I can see that this mostly Sodom shirts are quite clean, but when I saw the Suffocation shirts today, they had like prints all over it, like in 100.
I know some of these band's shirts, you know, there's so much texture in it, you know. It's, you know, Sodom shirts always a Sodom logo in the front, you know, on the top. And then you get the cover from the last album, whatever, you know. It's old school, but it's a kind of way we gonna do, you know. We are thrash metal band, you know.
But what about, are you writing any new music now? You came with an EP, was that 2014? What's happening there? Are you still writing?
Yeah, there was an EP, you know, because there was a kind of tradition doing a single or an EP before you were going to release an album, you know. Mm-hmm. But on vinyl, you know, that is important, you know. Also on vinyl, you know, that's for the collector scene, you know, and it's sold out, you know. Mm. The Sacred War Pass single is sold out, you know.
The vinyl has come back this past 5 years. I remember when I went to like record fairs 5 or 10 years ago, I could get wherever I wanted for like 5 euros, and now maybe the same records cost 20 or 30 euros.
There is a comeback, definitely, because the metal fans want to hold something in your hand, you know. You want to get the vinyl, double gatefold, whatever, you know. Or you what record company is going to do now, they do a kind of box, you know, with some gimmicks in it or shirt in it, you know, and everything. That's what I love, you know.
taking advantage
because
of the...
if you listen to Sodom at Spotify, you know, I don't get... You get nothing, you know. It's not why I do music, you know. I have a lot of work with my songs, you know, and everything. So when I get money for work, you know. And if you listen to music at YouTube or Spotify, for example, you know, I get nothing for it, you know. Why should I do music, you know, when I don't get something for it, you know?
And why are you continuing then in these digital ages?
Yeah, I can't. If I can earn a little bit money for it, you know, I stop doing music. You know, I have to try to find a job, you know, whatever, to make my live, you know.
You can go back to the coal mines now.
No, the coal mines are closed everywhere, you know. There's...
It became a cultural centrum in Ruhrport.
Yeah, there was just no. There's no more coal mine in Ruhrport.
No. No, but the coal mines became a cultural center. A lot of the old coal mines became stages for culture.
Yeah, we talk about when I cannot make my live from the music. You know, but I can't go back to the coal mine now. Yeah.
But we actually did that at Røros too, which has a copper mines. They have made concert halls in them. And the acoustics are really nice for like classical music and stuff like that,
maybe jazz.
But metal doesn't work out in the old mines. It's too big.
You know, it's like a Zeche Karl, you know, it's in Essen where I did a lot of shows, you know. Last month, you know, I did an interview with Metalhammer, yeah. For Obsessed Faculty, 30 years, you know. And we go and say, okay, I want all the stations where you rehearse, where was the first show, you know, and we've been at Zeche Karl, you know. The spirit is gone, you know. It's everything's clean. It's
stainless steel glass. It's not this old murky.
And you can drink cappuccino outside, you know. It's not where I was. It's a,
no.
But like all the buildings are still standing, and that is important.
Like the lyrics go, obsessed by cruelty, deadly cold and gray.
Yeah.
You know, that's the essence.
Clean.
That's the essence of the like black metal or thrash for me, but. It was both spiritual and at the same time very industrial and very urban. Sodom was like seeing Satanism in everyday, you know, everyday life in Sodom.
But when did you start listening to Sodom?
I started listening to Sodom in 1987. A friend of mine called Matthias Karlsson with the Speed Kills samplers.
You were quite young then.
Yeah, well, that was the interest. I'm from the countryside, and we followed. And my friend's bigger brother, he had the Speed Kills sampler, so I copied the tapes. And that's, of course, the...
Copied them.
How old are you?
40.
40.
This year, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you're not turned 40 yet.
No, May.
Yeah, that was I remember, because you haven't turned it yet. If I forgot your birthday, you'd probably kill me.
No, Speed Kills, the sampler albums. But that's the first material. So I started to listen to Sodom's old stuff. And then a friend of mine called Matthias, he was a tape trader. So I started to trade a bit. And I got Bochum 85, 10th of October, that show. Important, because on the A side it was a rehearsal tape, I think, for a show in Belgium. On the Obsessed by Cruelty gigs, and it's the in the sound check, and it's a rehearsal tape before the show. Then, so and it was quite good.
We
quality.
Always rehearsed before the show. Yeah,
yeah, much. And that was much better quality than the demos, which I acquired. So, but the sheer energy, and I was really. You know, hit by the same force of energy as you would listen to any early Iron Maiden material, but with, yeah, I guess some kind of Mad Max world of Satanism.
Yeah, because you were into Iron Maiden at the same time.
Yes.
So they were actually both that and Sodom and the Extreme.
Yeah, metal is not that you have to make any genre out of it. You know, it's the sheer energy. And if you get the message delivered,
But I
get my opinion as, or how I receive it.
But I get the impression that in the 80s, it was more polarized than now. Now you can listen to both glam and death at the same time, and nobody looks down at you. Not in Norway, that is. I don't know how it is.
We never. Else.
You don't.
No, we don't. No, we just listen to Venom and all the. The heaviest bands in the world, you know.
That's a good thing that you mentioned it, because it was Sodom is also has the the presence of the black metal of the early 90s.
Expect on Maiden. We listened to Maiden, yeah. And Priest was one of the first metal band from here.
And Raven.
But there Raven, yeah, it was underground band, you know. We love underground.
Yeah,
bands.
We have a lot of similar music tastes, you know, in general. When we talk, you know, like that. What's really good and what's so.
There are some other bands like Savatage I never listened to.
Never. But French Vulcan.
Big band, you know.
Vulcane. You know.
Vulcane.
Yeah.
Something with the Red Mountains on it.
Tank.
Yeah. We got a record store in where I come from, Gelsenkirchen, you know. And he got import CDs LPs.
Yeah.
And I got something for you, Exciter, I got the Rots, you know. Oh, we got it always 3 months before it was official release in Germany. We paid a lot of money for it, you know. And he got it import from America, from England, you know. And I gonna buy everything, you know. And one day he came with Venom. It was the first Venom record, you know. It was the first Venom sampler, the lead weight sampler. The Venom was one track on a sampler, and then.
As you go.
A couple of weeks ago, I got the full. I was the first one to get the Venom album in Germany, the full length album.
Oh.
It's an English press, you know, it's for you. And I don't know how much I paid for it. We get it. And that was the music we listened to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No commercial band.
I remember
No, you cannot say no commercial bands, you know, that we also like Lee Aaron, you know.
Then you get it in commercial size.
We were young boys, sir. Yeah, that's really commercial. But it was strange, you know. That,
but I remember Chris Witchhunter's mom. She said that
he listened to Bryan Adams. You know?
Yeah, Bryan Adams mixed with Bathory.
I have mixed it on tape.
Mixed with Bathory.
Bryan Adams Bathory.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a part that people forget about Sodom, how important in that sense it was as well. Because Corton asked Sodom to be a part of that in the black metal days.
To be a part of Bryan Adams?
Bryan Adams fans must join
Bryan
and make
never
a black metal project.
No, we just listen to what we like, you know. And that was... some really strange bands, you know, like Vulcane, or what you told before, Morsure.
Yeah, good drive. Good drive bands.
Bestiality, Killer from Belgium, and stuff like that, you know.
Acid.
You are to pick 10 songs for the show. You have to pick one Sodom song and 9 other favorite heavy metal, hard rock, prog rock, progressive rock songs for the show. So one Sodom, 9 other songs from your favorite bands.
Me and Tom had a slight conversation before you appeared here on the porch. And I think the Sodom song, or a Sodom song that speaks well for the time being, is a song called Unbury the Hatchet.
Do you agree?
It's not my favorite Sodom song, but it's
no. But it makes sense.
It makes sense. Sometimes it makes sense.
And the second line goes, "Keep the mighty from the seats."
So we actually chosen that one now from one of the Sodom songs, since you are a fan and a friend of both of us.
It would be a great idea to perform these songs are live, you know, some rarities, you know. I'm working really hard to talk to my band, you know. We have to get some other tracks, you know, in a set list, you know.
Are they protesting against that?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. we do Agent Orange, yeah, we do...
I like the Better of Dead and the Tapping the Vein and Get What You Deserve.
You know, I'll Get What You Deserve, my favorite album. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy, you know, like...
Which song would you choose from it?
Oh, it's the title track, Get What You Deserve.
First time I went down to see Sodom was at Zuckerfabrik at Get What You Deserve tour. We took the ferry over to Rostock to Zuckerfabrik in 93. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a big production, and I remember still remembering Steiff came out with all the beers. And
yeah, that was the only production worldwide. You know. If you recorded guitars in the studio, you have to record it the guitar twice, maybe more, you know.
And Stoney was there. And
when we recorded Get What You Deserve, we just recorded one guitar and one bass guitar. That's it. You don't hear any other second guitar on this album, you know.
The way it was supposed to
be. It's the first band who ever did it. In the studio. Mm-hmm. It was if you do a live recording, you have one bass, one guitar. And we do the same, we recorded this album completely without any overdub guitars. No band did before, and no band didn't.
Those albums are uniquely aggressive.
They said, no, you have to record the guitar twice, you have to get a stereo.
So if you think
panorama,
about,
whatever, you know.
Like what people did, you know, like. Unfortunately, that was important with labels like thrash metal, death metal. Tapping the Vein, for example, is way more brutal than any death metal album released in 91. It's just that it sounds different, but the brutality of the album.
It was with more guitars.
It
was
a big production. Yeah, but it's more brutal.
I think more brutal because of one guitar on the left side, bass on the right side. Drums in the middle.
You do the Beatles style, really.
Yeah, you know some Beatles.
Yeah, you panic.
If you have a headphone, you cannot listen to it because you have on the left side you have a guitar and
I gotta
a bass.
Tell you,
you
Tom,
know, you can.
She's
you have
a
your...
sound. If you want to build a house, yeah, she's a soundproofer.
I'm an acoustics engineer.
Yeah. She acoustics engineer. So sound is her job.
Okay, at the Beatles, the guitars on the left and the bass on the right. Mm. But when we recorded Get What You Love, we fade it together, you know.
And Andy Breen's
first like Beatles and then Phil Spector in a way.
Yeah.
Because he liked the wall of sound mono, but the Beatles wanted it really stereo, and when you combine that,
the high end radio.
That was stereo recording, but you don't have the effect, you know.
No.
You have bass and guitar at the same time, at the same place, coming in front of you.
Plus that you had Andy Brings and Atomic Scythe on drums as well, which are very aggressive performers in their style. Mm. Scythe in particular, from Living Death.
I have to take piss.
When Chris Witchhunter died, there was a great festival that Tom put on in Oberhausen. In Oberhausen, and next morning or in the same night, it was great with Assassin and Darkness, and Sodom and Destruction, all the old masters of brutality. But later we went to Shiri's place to drink egg toddy, and then we listened to Aggressive Perfector.
And the first layer.
The Live and Dead EP. Black Magic and...
That was so...
And you had the speech in German that would go something like, this is the masters of black metal. I think it was Black Magic.
Black Magic.
Yeah, something like that. That's a song.
That's awesome. Jonas is doing all the work for you. You can just smile and say, yep.
No, but we had many good times. We had many good times.
This guy knows stuff, and I know you know.
I have sure reasons to remember, because next morning was not so funny.
We
went to Frankfurt to the H&R Giger movie concept next morning with my girlfriend at the time, Sophia. Mess.
But Sophia now is a completely different world, you know.
She's a famous tattoo artist in Germany.
She was German?
No.
She lives in Berlin. She lives in Berlin now.
Mm. Spend a lot of time going to Sodom shows, actually. And a lot of...
I've spent a lot of money also.
Yep. Been well worth it.
That's what we
over
do.
Over the years. Yeah, traveling.
Being
and,
fans.
Yeah, but fans, but fans, then...
Friends.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Friends.
He's a big fan, but he's also a big friend. You know, that's...
cuteness overload.
Fries was the first really heavy metal band I ever listened to. You know, because Fries is... It was more metal than Maiden, you know. Fries was a really heavy metal band.
I like Priest more than Maiden. I do. Sorry, Jonas.
If you're going to see the covers, outfit, and the lyrics and all. Priest was the first metal band I listened to. Definitely. It was not AC/DC. It was Priest.
What albums and songs are your favorites?
My favorite album is Screaming for Vengeance. Yeah. Yeah, Fenders of the Fate is a great album, you know. There's, I'm not a big fan of Painkiller, you know. It was okay. They're getting a new drummer, you know.
It's wrong for Judas Priest to go thrash.
Yeah, British Steel is what was the first one I bought in 79 or something.
I'd say like Killing Machine and British Steel, you know.
Killing Machine is great.
The atmosphere around those two albums is pretty damn dark.
Point
perfect.
Of Entry, I got every Priest album. You know.
Point of Entry is
beautiful. I bought it when it came out, you know. The new Priest coming out, I go to the record store, gonna buy it. But the same day, you know, that's. I was growing up with this kind of band. My first album I ever bought was in
The Sentinel is a damn good
Rainbow
track here.
Rising. It's one of my all-time favorite, you know, because that was my first album I bought from my own money, you know.
In the movie Verlier.
Verlier.
Yeah. Big part of the crew I met in Rostock was a gang of Tom's friends from Essen and Gelsenkirchen, the Thrasher gang that you would also find in the film Verlier.
Verlierer.
Loser. Yeah, the losers.
Verlierer.
And it's about combat between political fractions in youth society about heavy metal punks and Nazi skinheads and how they approach life. And when you don't know really when you how far you want to go, but when they go into the show of Violent Force, you see most of the Sodom crew in that bar.
Awesome. So did you pick a song from there now?
No, that's Violent Force. That's Violent Lira. Violent Force is playing, that's in the film. And that's the old Sodom drummer that took over from Chris Richanter. Yeah, it's a good clip.
I try to speak some German. I speak it too rarely to remember it. But
and you're a big AC/DC fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you love AC/DC.
Yeah, what do you think about Axl Rose singing in AC/DC?
He's a good singer for AC/DC.
No!
Du har hørt et intervju med Sodom spalt inn under Inferno 2016. Og I morgen, altså lørdag 2. mars, spiller de på The Abyss Festival I Göteborg. Neste vecka det kvinnedagen, og I den anledning har jeg funnet frem et sjeldent damedominert intervju med Girl School.
We just loved music and wanted to be in a band. And all the guys that we knew that were actually playing in bands didn't want girls in the band. So we had no choice but to find other girls.
Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Og da det kult om du gir podcasten full pott på den plattformen du bruker. Det sånn den stiger på listene og spres ut til folket, og så blir jo jeg glad også da, selvsagt. Og hvis du sugen på å annonsere via podcast, så Jernverket ut etter nye samarbeidspartnere. Send meg en melding, så skal vi se hva vi kan få til. Husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for diskusjoner, konkurranser, månedens album fra Katakomben og andre nyheter. Henne Stenkløv, det meg, og jeg gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrockintervju hver fredag. Vi høres!